Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. With our biggest sale ever, furnaces from $39 a month, furnace and air conditioning combos from $59 a month, plus 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Four Seasons guaranteed to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000 guaranteed. So call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4SEASONS.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Chicago, the grudge matches on the gridirons might be gone, but get ready to hit the ball and touch them all at your local Chevy dealer, where you'll find the real MVPs of SUVs. If you're thinking about rounding third and heading for home in a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to take the next step and batter up. Need the power and durability of a Silverado? The all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer? The spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban? Or the sporty city-friendly Trax? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to win the game like a pro. So don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate the nearest dealer, and start shopping online. Things are warming up out there, and you need a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Chevy, together, let's drive.
I just don't understand how much you can accept punting on the quarterback position. They haven't even tried. And if you're telling me you don't want to take the top pick, sure, you don't want to, you know, take a top pick in the draft last year. Okay, I guess, but they're already proven to be incorrect in that regard. And I fear that this regime is again going to do the same thing. And it's if they don't get a franchise quarterback, they are all toast. So I'm not trying to say that they should be acting to save their jobs, but that's what you need to do to succeed in the NFL. One way or another, whether it's number three, whether it's trading back in the first round, whether it's second round, they need to come away with a franchise quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, you got to eventually. I just, to throw a Hail Mary from three in the draft is as bad as it gets.
But it's not a Hail Mary.
Well, I mean, I don't like Sanders.
Okay,
but I think a lot of people question what he could be.
But why can't they identify a guy and then draft the guy that they like? And by the way, see, this is why I like bringing the Jets into the conversation as well when you talk about a quarterback, right? You said you don't want to be forced into anything. Well, the Jets aren't forced into anything.
I know.
And maybe they're not going to be picking as high as seven moving forward. Who knows? Maybe Aaron Glenn and the Jets win some games this year and they have a pick in the teens next year or whatever it may be. So maybe they feel like, hey, we love Shador Sanders. He fell to us at seven. We're taking him. Or whoever. Jalen Milroe they like in the second round.
Or Dart.
Okay, but that's a spot where it's worth even if it's on a high pick, it's worth taking a quarterback to me so you're not backed into a corner where the Giants now are. They had opportunities. They haven't done it. The Jets, it's year one. Maybe their best opportunity will be right now to take one of those franchise quarterbacks.
I wouldn't crush the Jets on air the next day if they take a quarterback. It's not what I would do because I think that there's too many franchise-altering options at seven that they could get really on the lines, which is what they need. So I want to build this thing from the guts out rather than from the shiny toy out. I just feel like we do that. You know, it's a little different with the quarterbacks. I get that. But, you know, it's the receiver. It's the running back. It's the corner who we all have these visions of seven or eight interceptions and pick sixes, and which very rarely happens for our teams. I want a very nondescript opening night draft. I think it's going to be a meat and potatoes kind of a pick. I think when you look at where Glenn's coming from with Detroit, how Campbell built it, what Campbell's philosophy has been, his DNA, going back to his, you know, his days as a tight end himself, as a blocker, I just think that we're going to kind of see that play itself out on draft night for the Jets. But if they took Sanders, that means they like him, and mm-hmm. I'll give it a chance to work. I wouldn't do it, but I would give him a chance to see if they're right.
Right, me too. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Joe is on Staten Island. What's up, Joe?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Thanks for taking the call.
All right.
So the Giants, I think the most ideal pick would be Will Howard. He's getting projected right now in that late 90s to 110. That's where he's getting every mock draft. That's where he's going. I don't understand why this kid is considered such a late draft pick. He won a Big 12 championship with KSU when he didn't have great talent around him. Then he goes to Ohio State, get a 73% completion rate. Anyone's a national title going
you,
to
you can't you can't look at the stats. You can't. I don't want to hear completion percentage from a college kid at Ohio State when he's throwing into, you know, massive windows. That to me means nothing. Sorry.
He's playing, but he's also playing the best talent in college football. When you look at a guy like Sanders, who his huge elite trait is accuracy, he's throwing the similar stats against terrible talent. And when he plays good teams, he loses. I'm just arguing the fact that at 3, you can get either Carter or Hunter. Mm-hmm. At 34, you can get a guy like Nolan. If you go, say, at 65 and you don't take a quarterback by then, you can get an offensive lineman like Rutledge. And then at 99, you take a guy like that. He sits behind a year.
Oh, they might. Watson. Yeah, no, Joe, they might. And by the way, Will Howard, who is very big, I know you know this because just running through what you ran through, I could tell you watched him and you watch college football. You know, he's 6'4", 220-something. He ran a 4.5 at his pro day. Now, that's one of the things, like, if you can't move anymore, I can't take you very high. Now, Will Howard's not going that high, but one of the things that's a drawback to me for Shador is that he's an average athlete. And to me, that's not the way I'm looking to go in the NFL.
Yeah, I just don't know what the Giants value. We haven't seen them make a decision. We know what Daniel Jones was. We know he was kind of forced on them, and then they had some success with him, to your point about the year they won the playoff game. But I have no idea what Brian Daboll is looking for. Oh, yeah, they wanted Jaden Daniels. Yeah, okay. You think? I mean, obviously. Oh, they would have liked Drake May, too. Oh, okay, great. Like, hey, I got news for you. Mr. Mara, I'm available for hire, too. I could have identified that Jaden Daniels is going to be a good pro. So what's separating Brian Daboll from anybody if anybody could have told you that Jaden Daniels or Drake May were going to be good? Like, he's got to find the guy. And if it's not Sanders, okay, fine, then go find somebody. I would not, just based on reading some of the scouting report on Will Howard, doesn't do it for me. I'm not getting into, to me, a guy, I'll give you something that I'll read you what I just read that I don't like about him. More of a vessel of the play caller than a playmaking talent. Typically reads half the field, makes reasonable decisions with the football using good mechanics, consistent accuracy. Which is fine. Doesn't hold defenders at bay with his eyes. Lacks the arm strength to beat tight man coverage. Blah 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 blah. Show good poise. He seems to me like, you know, just an average, solid, potential safe choice. Whereas I would value more of the skill set. Mm. Somebody could be more explosive. Somebody with potential that maybe I could harness. That's what I'm looking for there. Not somebody who's like, he's okay as a pocket passer.
And his eyes and his hips and his reads. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, the regurgitation of phrases in the scouting sector, it's ridiculous, man. It's like they've got this little pamphlet and they all have about 20 or 30 buzzwords or phrases that they write down.
Well, what do you look for?
What do I look for myself?
Yeah,
at this point,
what are the things that you value?
I need a good size and speed combination. That's the first thing I need to know. And quite frankly, this part, now that anybody can identify that. I will admit, what I'm about to say next, I'm not incredibly adept at recognizing. I'm okay at it, but I'm not a scout. I'm not a coach. I need to know the anticipatory gene. Can you anticipate? Because what you said about Will Howard throwing 70-something percent, you know, all these guys throw 70. It's the same thing in the NFL.
Yeah. Dwayne Haskins, what was his percentage at Ohio State?
I don't have it. You rest in peace, but I'm sure it was very high. I don't know. Ohio State is definitely a playbook that is very, very deep and just obliterates a conference that historically has been a little slower than the SEC and maybe even in some spots the ACC. The point is, I need you to be bigger and stronger and quicker and I need to have a good arm. I don't need an absolute laser. Yeah, I'll take it. I mean, I'd like to have Josh Allen's arm. That's great. But I need to know that when one thing that you thought was going to be there is not there, what do you do next? That's generally what separates the guys who make it and those who don't.
I look for red flags with these things. And by the way, his strength is outstanding size, which you like, toughness inside and outside the pocket, but not the speed there, which to me would be an issue. I want speed.
They said it's not an asset because he ran a 4.5. What is that? What's the date on that scouting report? Because he ran a 4.5 at his pro day, which is terrific. A 4.5 for a quarterback is sick.
It does not have, I guess, the combine results here. Oh, no, it does have some of it.
At his pro day. I think he ran it at his pro day. I don't think it was the combine. I think it was his pro day on campus.
I don't have a date. This is just the NFL.com. Okay.
That's probably from the NFL combine then.
5.90, next gen stats. The thing to me, when you look at the weaknesses, can be, let's see, will struggle to beat NFL corners when throwing outside the numbers in a tight windows. Like, that's all I need to say.
That's got to throw outside the hash. You got to be able to put that in there.
That's a major red flag. So you're right. And then they talk about half the field. This is another one. Second red flag. Content with half field reads instead of getting through his progressions. Those are two major red flags. Now, if you had that, but you had elite speed,
we could work on some stuff.
I would then maybe sacrifice that and say, okay, well, he's not going to be great at going through his progressions, but he's got Mike Vick type speed.
Yeah,
I'll live with it.
Okay, but how about this now? This is where I think it gets really interesting. Yeah. And this is where it tells you that all these guys, they're stealing money, including Mel Kiper. They don't know what they're saying. And they know more than us. Because
Mel Kiper's made a nice career for himself.
He's made a nice career for being wrong a lot. Yeah.
I'll never forget the analysis because it pertained to me with the Falcons with Mike Vick. Mel Kiper. The Atlanta Falcons with Michael Vick. Michael Vick will be the roll-the-dice type of pick. Okay, roll-the-dice type of pick? You either like the pick or you don't like the pick. It's not a roll. Everybody's a roll-the-dice type of pick. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, so go back, and I know we can find this. You know, go look at whether it's Mel and or whoever you follow. Well, it's Brock Purdy's scouting report. Like, right. Sal just read Will Howard. Okay, he can't do this, he can't do that.
See if Brock, I can bring it up.
Yeah, it's there because I've looked at some old ones back in the day. I've looked at Zach and Daniel Jones as well. You know, what's Jalen Hurts' scouting? I remember what we were saying when Jalen, what the hell are the Eagles doing taking him in the second round? You got Carson Wentz, man. Carson Wentz is big, strong, tough. Guy's a rocket. He can move everything. Jalen Hurts, what? And Jalen Hurts is pretty damn good because Jalen Hurts is in the right spot and they deploy him properly. And that's where nuance is lost. So I'm not saying that this can't be a bit of a loose translation for a roadmap. Can he move? Can he hit outside the hashes? Is he a leader? Is he injury prone? But really, I've learned these scouting reports basically mean nothing.
Correct. But we have to give some kind of opinion based on something. So I like, me personally, I take certain things. I told you one I remember years ago was I liked Gardner Minshew based on something that I'd read. It said like toughness and leader.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, I can work with that at least a little bit. Now, obviously, Minshew's not a great player. I remember looking at Josh Rosen watching the film thinking, God, this guy's got a freaking cannon.
Yeah, and he was brilliant, too. Very smart mind.
He's going to translate well on the pros.
So I actually thought he was going to be good.
Okay, now was it a product of Rosen not being good enough or system?
I don't know. I mean, was he arrogant? Was he not locked in? Okay, look at the franchise that took him. They destroyed him.
And that was some of the knock on him, too, being arrogant. All right, Brock Purdy, because this is fun to do.
Go ahead.
Strengths. 4-year starter, team leader. Different quarterback when he finds a rhythm, which, by the way, Kyle Shanahan offense, he's going to get these guys in rhythm.
Yeah.
Makes his way through progressions. Strong hands, easy pump fakes to move defenders, generally accurate passer between the numbers, confident throwing over linebackers, good toughness and anticipation as a runner, willing to dive to move the chains. Those are nice qualities for a guy.
Yeah, that's a good scouting report, but we're going to take 256 guys in front of you in the draft. It's not good enough.
Well, but I'm saying,
you know what I'm saying, though?
Well, maybe they let size get in the way, other things that they're like, because you read that and it's like, hey, those are some good things. Now, let me read you his weaknesses here real quick. Pocket setup lacks quickness.
Okay.
Field blinders occasionally rob him of seeing the big play. Delivery is labored. Lacks timing to beat NFL corners outside the numbers. Shies away from tight window throws. Ball needs to come out sooner in deep shots. Confidence and consistency have been issues. There's not really many alarming red flags in there, at least to me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's easy to sit there and read it knowing what he became.
What he became.
And I do think that he is a product of the system. But if you're Kyle Shanahan or Lynch, and you read these and you say, okay, well, we can make this guy play to his strengths in our system. We'll get him in rhythm. We're not going to make him throw in a, bad, whatever it may be, the weakness. You cover some of that up. The timing to beat the corners outside the numbers. You figure out a way to maximize his strengths as opposed to be deterred.
100%. Well, that's what the good franchises do.
Right.
Unlike ours, who are married to one way of playing, and they basically ruin guys. How many times did you see Zach out of the pocket? I remember it was his first year. It really kind of reminded me of the pro day. He threw a bomb to Corey Davis. I forget who it was against. It was very early. First month of the season. I mean, he's just playing. He's just a kid. And he rolls out to his right, and he actually, with his hand, points Corey.
Go!
And he threw it like 65. It was an absolute dot. And I'm like, that's the player that I watched at his pro day and that I watched a little bit of BYU. It was a pandemic, so you didn't get to see a ton of BYU. But I remember they played Coastal Carolina. I did watch that game. That's when Coastal was really good. Anyway, I don't think the Jets played to his strength. Now, he might not just have the either the toughness or the bandwidth to become the quarterback that some people thought he could become, but I promise you, if he was used a little differently, he might still be here. And if he wasn't here, he wouldn't be labeled the colossal bust that he's been labeled.
Or not even if he were used differently. If it were different circumstances where his confidence wasn't completely destroyed. Now, it takes a tough mindset to overcome that adversity, but I don't know how you do that when you're thrown to the wolves.
Yep.
You're a kid who's had success your whole life and been given things, all this, all that. You're drafted number two, all the expectations. Then you fail, colossal fail. You're like, what the hell happened?
Oh, yeah.
You doubt yourself 1,000%. You're not sure if you can make it. That could ruin somebody's mentality. And I think that's exactly what the Jets did to him. Anthony's in Harlem. What's up, Ant?
What's up, boys? It is so good to hear NFL draft talk. This is my favorite time of the year.
Nice.
I have a 6-year-old son who is as into football as any kid. He does mock drafts online, this kid. He's turning 7 on Sunday. Yeah. And we're taking him to the NFL draft in Green Bay with
Nice. Oh, wow. Very nice. That's awesome, dude.
God, you love the draft that much. That's awesome to take your son there.
Yeah.
Green Bay. Different if it's a Radio City.
I've never been, so we're going to go to Chicago and drive up to Green Bay. And it's going to be a great family trip.
Okay.
You're doing a Lambo tour, I'm assuming?
Yes, we're doing the whole thing.
That's a must.
Doing
a whole
thing. I did that Lambo tour. It's phenomenal.
My wife's going to suffer through it. She's
we got to suffer through them half the time, too, so it's all good. Suck it up.
I wanted to talk about the Jets, BT. Okay, you said a couple of things, meat and potatoes, working in silence. There is this kid that I am pounding the table for. This kid, Tyler Warren from Penn State, the tight end. Oh, bro. God. I know it's the tight end. Dude, listen to me.
Go ahead.
Listen, okay? You guys love the pro comps? He's Jeremy Shockey with Mark Bavaro's personality, bro. Mm-hmm. He is a dude. Every time you turn on Penn State, they ran their offense through.
He's tremendous. He's a good blocker, too. He's tremendous.
He's a good blocker.
That.
He is 6'6", 260. Yeah. And he's like a guy that's going to set the culture. Like, and here's the thing I would say about the tight end position, because everybody's like, oh, you can't take a tight end that high. Everybody that was there at the end in the tournament, they all have tight ends that can block and catch the ball.
Yeah.
And if you redraft to 2024, where would Brock Bowers go?
I wanted Brock Bowers.
Yeah. Where would Kyle Pitts go? And thank you for the call. I have an issue with the tight end that high.
At 7.
Yeah.
If it's a transcendent figure, and he could be, I have less of an issue with it, but I think you could actually trade down a couple of spots and still get him.
I'm looking at a couple of mocks right now. One has him going 13 to the Chargers in what would be a trade. One has him going to the Colts at 14. If I could pull up a couple other quickies here. I mean, so you're looking at roughly that. Another one, 14 to the Colts. Another one has been going 10 to the Bears. I mean, you're going to be in the ballpark. I don't think, to me, 7's a bit of a stretch. But if you love the player, you love the player.
That's the thing.
I just would not take, me personally, I'm not taking a tight end there. I'm not taking a tight end within the top 10.
I'd rather go O-line at number 7.
Especially where they're at. I should preface it by saying where they're at. If you think it's the final piece, it's an aberration. Your quarterback gets hurt for the year. You're picking in the top 10, and you think you need a tight, you have everything else locked down.
Yeah.
Then I could maybe understand it. I would not look to be taking a tight end, though, under normal circumstances that high.
I got to tell you, as much as the Jets frustrate me on almost every single level, like their inability to pass block, they don't stop the run all of a sudden, basically everything, really, they're kicking. I think the thing that's bothered me the most about the Jets is that they have never found the modern version of a tight end. Now, I don't know if that's a direct correlation to not having a good quarterback. Probably.
Dustin Keller?
Yeah, I know. He actually caught a couple of touchdowns in the playoffs. One against the Chargers.
I'm trying to think of some of their best tight ends.
Winslow's a wacko, man. Remember they found him? Some weird stuff. Yeah. Winslow. Yeah, but I look at all these teams, you know, whether it's the Niners, whether it's the Chiefs. I know some of these guys are getting up there in age. I get that. Now the Raiders with Brock Bowers, like every year, even going back years ago. Remember the name Jason Morrow? Do you know that name?
Yes.
From Texas Tech?
Yes.
I believe he was a second-round pick, and I remember the knock was he had really small hands.
Right.
And he was horrible.
Jason Morrow.
I know. I think it was Texas Tech, and I'm pretty sure it was round two, right?
I think it was
early.
It was either round two or three, but yeah.
I thought it was two. Okay. It did nothing. He was out of football very shortly thereafter. Like, they just can't find the tight end, and when you can find the tight end, number one, he could occasionally house some because he's going to be the linebacker, but he makes the quarterback's job easier. He makes the running. He just opens up the game, and they never address it prominently. They like try to sign this veteran, Conklin, this guy, that guy. I am actually very okay with a tight end. Again, I don't love it at 7. I prefer it more 10, 11, 12 with a trade here, but Ruckert's not the answer. And I thought Ruckert had a chance to be the guy. Now, he's right now the starter. That can't happen. He's an okay backup. I thought he was going to be better. He's not it.
And I will say that not all tight ends are created equally. So even though I don't agree with taking a tight end that high, it does seem like everything you hear about Tyler Warren is he would be worthy of a high pick. BT, we'll get back to the draft calls in just a second. 888-808-1019. This is exactly what I was telling you. Like, everyone, Devin Williams, he's the best thing ever. He's the best thing. Closers are so volatile. With that being said, I don't think he's toast. I'd be curious to get your take because we texted a little bit about this, but we didn't really discuss it in any detail.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Devin Williams is toast, but I just think that this is how bullpens are. They're so fickle and volatile year to year. I don't think you can just look at the numbers and say, the airbender, he's going to be unhittable. He's been anything but. Devin Williams has been ugly here to start.
He hasn't pitched one good game yet. Now, he missed some time, paternity, absence, whatever, but really, since opening day, it's been guys on base and it's been getting out of jams, and he looks awful. I didn't love his body language. I watched the post-game show when he was interviewed. I think it was Meredith, and I'm like, I don't know, is this guy going to be one of these dudes who comes to New York and just gets overwhelmed? I'm not prepared to say that yet. But the one thing that I will say about some of those people, whether it's a Carl Pavano, whether it's a Sonny Gray, generally the evidence presents itself very fast if you're not a New York kind of guy. Now, I won't say that yet because I don't think his stuff is there yet. And his best pitch is a changeup. And when your fastball is 2 or 3 miles per hour, not where it needs to be, which is the case, then the effectiveness of the changeup clearly is diminished. So I'm going to give him a little chance to get going here. But right now, Devin Williams does not look very good. And he did say one thing that I thought was fairly interesting. And I don't know that we really associate this with relief pitchers. Like, if you're a starter, right? And you have a rough outing. Mechanically, you're out of whack. Yeah. You're flying open early. You're just not in sync. Whatever it might be. You could do a bullpen because you've got basically almost a week to get yourself straight for your next start. If you're a relief pitcher, and this is what he did say, because of the unpredictable nature of when you're going to pitch again, it's hard to get in the bullpen and throw and try to fix it when you might be pitching that night. So you can't tap into, you know, your arsenal at 3:30 in the afternoon with nobody in the stadium, then come out at 10 o'clock and try to get 3 outs and throw 25 pitches at 95 miles an hour or whatever it might be. I think if he has a rough outing this weekend against the Giants, I think he is going to feel the heat immediately.
Well, and that's something that you don't get in Milwaukee.
Yep.
That's where we have the difference. Inevitably, every closer, even the best closers, they will blow some games, they will go through rough spurts, whatever. But when you first get started with the Yankees, and the expectations were that this guy was going to be the best closer in the game and basically unhittable, and now you see this is a Milwaukee. Fans will get on him. I still think he's going to be okay, but I think he's going to be just like any other okay or good closer where, I mean, here's all you need to know. Devin Williams, who was labeled by many as the best closer in all of baseball, got beat by Pete Alonso last year and ruined the Brewers' season. The Brewers did everything that you would want to line them up to advance in the wild card round, to move on to the divisional round. They had it lined up. They had a lead in the ninth inning, a big lead at that, with their best closer in baseball on the mound.
Uh-huh.
And he blew it. So if he did that, what makes me think he wouldn't do it again at some point with the Yankees? And that's just something that's unfortunately we have to.
I recently found out that you can see a personal dietitian covered by insurance. There's this platform called Nourish that will match you with a dietitian based on whatever your concerns are, whether that's weight loss, eating disorders, autoimmune conditions, or something else. They're actually a network with major insurance providers, so most patients pay $0 out of pocket. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Live with the closures for the most part because nobody's Mariano Rivera.
Nobody is, but even Mariano got touched up at 97. That was in the, against the then Indians with Alomar down the right field line. Eckersley gave up a bomb when he should have thrown a different pitch, and obviously Gibson took him deep. So, listen, there's a lot of volatility at the back end of every bullpen. Even when Goose got here, I was doing some research. You know, Rich Gossage's transition to Yankee closer was not incredibly smooth. But I do think that, now, hopefully he's still this guy. But I never thought it was reckless or irresponsible to say that Devin Williams was different from everybody else. He didn't have one bad year. And you're talking 0.33, 2.50, 1.93, 1.53, 1.25. I mean, it's not like it was like Rodon, you know, Cy Young, then down, then Cy Young. Like, he has been consistently amazing. Now, he's been consistently amazing in Milwaukee, and maybe that's a little bit of it. Again, I think once the velocity gets up, not that he ever throws 100, but it really does minimize the effectiveness of that great pitch, that which is a changeup. I just think that Yankee fans, or I know that this isn't directly true, but you know, I even tweeted this having fun, like, you change the hair policy for this stiff. I mean, honestly, 50 years, the guy comes here, he stinks. And like, and I kind of say that, no, I mean, he stunk. I mean that, but I don't think they change it just because of him. But I'm telling you, if he gives up a run or two, I would even go so far as to say Yankees are off tonight, right? Yankees play tomorrow night. I believe that's Stroman's turn. Let's say he does a decent job. Weaver hands Devin Williams the ball, 5-4 Yankees lead. He walks that first guy, even a blue pace hit, you're going to hear some murmurs in the crowd immediately. Like, this is what happens. We will give you some grace period, but when you're new and you don't show signs of being the guy that we traded for or signed, you're going to hear it immediately.
But the problem is that could have a negative impact. I think he'll be fine. However, if he does struggle his next outing and the fans start to get on him, now you're dealing with something he's never dealt with before, where you have different expectations in a town that, Matt, all due respect to Milwaukee, it's different here. Clearly, it matters here.
Yeah, every town's different from here.
And now you're going to be hearing the negative boos that could turn some players off. The one thing that I would say about you saying you could identify it early on, I thought for sure Diaz was toast in New York. Yep. I never thought he would rebound after what he went through. He did. Now, I still don't trust him, but he did rebound and have one of the best years ever in 2022. Carlos Rodon, after year one, I thought he also was toast.
Mm-hmm.
He's at least...
He was good last year. It wasn't great. He was fine.
He's at least level. Now, I still don't love him as a pitcher.
Well, he's been terrible this year.
I'm not surprised. He's just...
But he was good last year. We talked. He was good.
He's at least serviceable, where a lot of the other guys weren't even serviceable, and you had to run them out of town. So at least he stabilized a little bit. And Rodon and Diaz, those are two examples that I thought initially those guys were both toast in New York.
Yeah, but don't you think you kind of more times than not know right away in New York, whether it's, you know, whether it's the Knicks, whether it's the Rangers, whether it's the Yanks or the Mets? Football's a little different. Because it's, I mean, it's obviously here, but I just think it's different.
It's not scrutinized. Well,
it is, but it's not like day-to-day. Yeah, like, yeah, Devin Williams, like, we could talk about, sure, and we have Daniel Jones or Zach, you know, 3, 4, 5 days in a row, but it's about different stuff. Generally the same thing, actually.
Quarterback, probably the only equivalent. Even Kayvon Thibodeau, who gets some stuff, or you want to get on some of the, you know, Sauce Gardner, it's minimal compared to what the basketball player, the baseball player will get on a day-in, day-out basis.
Well, for sure, because, I mean, Kayvon Thibodeau or whomever misses an assignment, you know, whiffs on a tackle, you know, generally it's within a large portion of big bodies, and it's not like you're on the mound 60 feet, 6 inches away, isolated for all of us to be like, dude, what'd you do there? What happened there? Do you have more faith right now in Diaz or Williams having a big season?
I'm torn with that. I would say that I think the volatility of Diaz is more than Williams. I think Williams has more of a leveled curves, you know what I'm saying? Less of a...
Not as erratic as Edwin Diaz.
Dude, Diaz...
He's all over the map. Dude.
Now, I hated Diaz in 2019.
Yeah.
I love Diaz in 2022. He has not been the same since the Worthless Baseball Classic injury. His velo has not been the same.
It's true.
But even when he gets the job done, I'm going to give you facts now. This is not just a rational sports fan who has hate for Diaz. I don't hate Diaz. Personally, seems like a nice guy. I don't value pitchers who aren't consistent. Even when he gets the job done, he's all... over the place. It drives me up a wall. He's hitting guys. He can't field his position. He can't hold guys on. He's all over the place. He did the stupid... Did you see the point yesterday?
Yep.
He gives up a bomb, and he's pointing like it's a pop-up in the infield. That's Bush League, minor league Hansel Robles stuff, dude. You're Edwin Diaz.
Mm.
Now, the thing is, when he's on...
Yeah.
He's as nasty a pitcher as there is in the game. The
slider's filthy.
He's unhittable.
Mm.
But I don't trust the volatility of Diaz at all. So I think I'd go more Devin Williams than I would Diaz.
I agree, but I still think I got to see. I mean, not to say that I need to see more out of Devin Williams would imply that I've seen something so far from Devin Williams, which we have not. But no, I don't think that there will be as many crashes, if you will, with Devin Williams like there will be with Diaz. And you said that the velo's down, and you're right. 99.1 was his average fastball in 2023. Then it went down to 97.5. This year it's 96. So those 3 miles.
Now he got, so what you have 2022 numbers?
I got it all. 2022.
Okay. Because I know he, because we just did this on SNY not too long ago. His velo in 2022, which was his best season with the Mets.
Was his highest velo, 99.1.
And then he got hurt before the season in 2023.
And then it went down to, he didn't pitch in 2023, but then in 2024.
He might have come back for like one game at the end of the year.
I don't think he did. Did he?
I'm not sure.
I don't think he did, Sal. I remember there was talk about it. I don't think Buck, either way.
He was out for the year.
Then he went, basically he dropped 2 miles per hour. From pre-WBC, apex velo, 99.1. Next time we saw him, full throttle, 97 point change.
And remember too, BT, last year there were issues with the sticky stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
Got suspended for that. He's
he just makes you
map.
Nervous, dude.
I'd rather have somebody with less dominant, nasty stuff that I could rely on.
Like John Franco?
Franco danced a little bit too, Johnny.
Johnny put some guys on.
He did, but at least there was a consistency there. It wasn't volatile.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny wouldn't throw strikes necessarily. He's getting hitters to chase, and
for
if
sure.
they don't chase, they're going to be put on, and maybe give up a hit because he's got some hittable stuff. But yeah, I would trust Franco. I'd rather that more than Diaz, who at his best is much more dominant than Franco.
So would I.
I mean, the guy can't hold anybody on.
No, that's an embarrassment.
He can't field his position.
Yeah.
And he's all over the strike. His release point's all over the place.
And it's so weird. He's got a lot of moving parts. I mean, every pitcher does. Literally, that's what you're doing is you get to deliver the ball. But very herky-jerky. And, like, I could see why he would get out of sorts and his arm slot. Not that I'm a pitching coach, but I could see why when he's really erratic for a while. And Keith says this, and obviously Ronnie Moore is a former pitcher. Like, that arm slot, when he misses it, he doesn't miss it by an inch or two, which other major league pitchers will. He misses it by half a foot, which leads to sliders on, you know, a foot outside and fastballs. When he's off, he's bad.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Rich is in Springfield, New Jersey. What's up, Rich?
Hey, yeah, I just want to tap in on Devin Williams and the fans. But can I tell you also a quick story regarding Goose Gossage when I met him and spoke to him?
Go ahead, real quick. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so I would love to see the Yankee fans get behind Devin Williams. We don't need another Ed Whitson, another Kenny Rogers. And BT, you alluded to that. It'd be great if the Yankee fans would not boo him if he gets a little riled up.
Yeah, I'm not telling them that. I'm not telling them that, Rich. By the way, I'm not telling them to boo, but I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, treat him with kick. You're making $12 million a year. I mean, you got Hall of Fame numbers the last 5 years. It's not my job to tell people, oh, protect, you know, he's a little emotionally unstable right now. Do your job. Figure it out. But that's what we have to do every day. Figure it out.
I agree with you, but don't you think that could do more harm?
Yeah, I mean, it could. But there's also no evidence that kissing his ass and holding his hands is going to do more good.
It worked with Lindor.
It did, and it worked with Trey Turner. I'm not saying it can't work, but, you know, again, I'm not in the business of just railing on people unfairly. And I'm not saying, like, if I'm at the stadium tomorrow night and he walks a guy and then there's a blue pit, Yanks are up by a run, he's trying to preserve the lead, I'm not saying that I'm going to stand up and boo. Now, I will then react on the radio.
No, but, and he will get it, though, from the crowd.
And at that point, I would have no issue with it because he's been, listen, it's an incredibly small sample, clearly. But I tweeted, I was kind of kidding, but I wasn't. Pete Alonso may have snatched his soul. Like, there's such a thing, like, you know, when you're a boxer and you take the wrong shot one too many times, you don't recover, whether it's a chin shot or a temple shot. You're done. You're not dead, but you're done as a fighter.
It was like Brad Lidge.
Oh.
When he gave up that bomb to Pujols, which was one of the biggest home runs I've ever seen.
Or even Mark Walters with Jim Leyritz. Yeah, he was never the same.
Yep. Back to the Giants. Pete is in Long Beach. What's up, Pete?
What's up, gentlemen? How are we doing today?
Good. What's up?
What's up, man?
Is Joe Shane the worst front office guy in all sports? I mean, it's got to be. It's got to be spoken of at this point. I mean, it's. You're going to see next year, Dallas Cowboys are going to start a guy that they got for a fifth round pick. You know, where the Giants could have easily got him. I don't understand.
Well, hold on a sec, Pete.
Mara's number one thing going into the offseason was, we're going to get a quarterback via the draft. I'm sorry, via trade or a free agent signing.
Yep.
Yeah, they got one. Russell Wilson. They got two,
God
actually.
God almighty, are you serious?
I'm serious. Russell Wilson to Jameis Winston.
Russell Wilson, and he won a Super Bowl with him.
Yeah, but Pete, hold on. I got a question for you here. So you're very quick. You're very quick to anoint Dallas, them getting this right, and they've done nothing for 30 years. But yet Shane, and I'm not the biggest Shane fan, but just to be fair, Shane's been here for a couple of years, and you already denounce him as and anoint him as a failure. I mean, it seems inconsistent.
That's been 12 games a season.
Huh?
Dallas wins 12 games a season. Have they gotten over the hurdle of beating, you know, winning a Super Bowl or even getting to it? No, they haven't. But they win 12 games a year.
Not anymore. They don't.
I mean, Dak got hurt last year. Thanks for the call, Pete. Your line's a little wonky there, so we'll let you go. But good point. I would agree with Pete there, BT, in that Dallas has at least proven to be a sustained team here for the last, better part of a decade, that they've been a top team in the NFC, in the NFC East. Yeah, they haven't broken through in the postseason, but, I mean, the Giants wish they had a fraction of that success. Now, it doesn't mean that, what's his name?
Joe Milton?
Yeah. It doesn't mean Milton's going to be starting quarterback next year. But they did find their franchise quarterback. They've had no issues replacing Tony Romo. They go to Dak Prescott, obviously. Now, I look at Milton as a backup quarterback for them, not a starter next year. But point is, they addressed the franchise quarterback. Giants have not done that, and they've had sustained success. I'm not ready to say Joe Shane's the worst front office guy in all of sports. I mean, yeah, that you take it in a lot when
it's
you say that.
It's a heavy statement.
Yeah. I'm not even qualified enough because we're not following all these teams on a daily basis the way we are here. But as it pertains to New York sports, He's in the running for it.
He ain't worse than the Rangers GM, that's for sure.
I think he is. At least the Rangers GM accomplished something.
At least Shane had a pretty good draft last year.
Oh, according to who?
But the players. I'm not saying it's a lights-out all-time draft, but there's some evidence that he drafted a couple of players who can contribute.
Oh, congratulations. I mean, it is year three.
it's his job.
I hope so.
Well, I understand, but that doesn't mean that you ignore it.
It was such a great draft that they won how many games again? Like, I just don't understand. So what are we giving out, consolation prizes? Hey, you had one good draft. You got a few good players out there. Your team still sucks. You've been going backwards since the first year you got here. You can't even get to 500, but woo! I mean, that draft was good. Mara's standing out there all proud, like, oh, we really had a good draft. Joe Shane, this is the first draft that I really got to. Okay, yeah, this is the first time you really got to make your presence felt. I would take Chris Drury over Joe Shane any day.
You think Drury has a job next year? You think he should?
I would keep him, and I do believe they are going to keep him.
But why, though? Why would you keep him?
I don't think he's the problem. I think he made a mistake. See, I like his tough ruling.
Mm-hmm.
But he made a mistake that it didn't go over well in that locker room with the way that he handled Jacob Trouba.
Yeah, with the trade, yeah.
However, it was the right move. Trouba's toast. The Rangers needed to get out from under it, mm-hmm. and he was reluctant to being traded because his wife had a job here and all that stuff. Like, now, Drury gave him the no trade or whatever it may be, and that's part on him. And he's the one who built this core group. They took it as far as they could. Unfortunately, fell short of a Stanley Cup. But the problems to me are Panarin, Zibanejad, Trouba was one. I think the issue is the core group. I think Drury knows it. Problem is he's just got no way out of it.
See, it's also not a fair comparison. I just asked the question. But I think when you look at when Shane, and I even think that Muji's transition is going to be a lot easier than Shane's when he first came here. What did he inherit? He inherited a quarterback that nobody really wanted, let's face it. You know, here's another gift for you. Good luck figuring out the Saquon Barkley situation. Oh, yeah, by the way, we leave you no offensive line. I mean, I'm not a massive Shane believer. I do think he had a good draft a year ago. I hope he stacks another one. And if he does, well, now you have the semblance of a roster that's getting ready to compete. I think his Dallas is going the wrong way. You know, whatever. Now, that also coincides with the Commanders going the other way. So I'm not saying it's going to be simple here. But the roster and the situation of the Giants was deplorably bad that he inherited. It was awful. Think about the complaints about Gettleman and Reese.
I don't know if I would go there. Yeah, understood.
Oh, the old line's been terrible for 10 years.
Who were the best players when Shane got here? I mean, it was Dexter Lawrence. It was Andrew Thomas. I mean, guys that are already here.
Mm-hmm. Now, that part's true. That's why I'm not defending him blindly. No, I'm not saying. I'm just trying to create a...
His excuse about, we needed to draft for based on need. Dude, nobody put a gun to your head. It's the first year. You took Kayvon Thibodeau and Evan Neal. I mean, my God. His draft picks have not been... He's had 3 years here. They have not been great. And everybody wants to talk about last year. Yeah, that's great. I also thought Deontay Banks was going to be a player until we watch him in his second year. Mm-hmm, so who's to say that the guys that they drafted last year are going to be great moving forward?
Well, I don't know. But I just think that everything's going to look worse when you step into a franchise with zero stability, zero consistency, zero depth, contract issues that are very, very tricky to navigate. And again, do I think he's here in a couple of years? Probably not. Do I think he's done a good job? No. Do I think he showed some signs of trending favorably last year? I do. And I want to see it again. But I mean, you think the Jets are a mess? I think he had a tougher job than Muji.
Phil is calling from Howell, New Jersey. What's up, Phil?
Hey, how you doing? I just got a comment about Devin Williams. Mm-hmm. I think maybe part of the problem with him is that he still hasn't forgotten the Pete Alonso home run.
Yeah, BT just said that.
Pete snatched his soul. I don't think his... I mean, could be it. I mean, listen, if you're a great player and he was a great relief pitcher, generally one, even though it was a big one, one home run shouldn't destroy you and literally take your soul and just render you an inferior player or pitcher. I don't think that's going to be the case. But, I mean, the early returns are not favorable, but it's early. It's a couple times. I'm just saying he better buckle his belt tight this weekend, because when he's out there with the lead, if he shows signs of being sloppy again, Yankee fans are jumping all over him. And I wouldn't do it, but I will not blame them for doing that.
You know, most closers, I know we referenced a couple before the break, most closers should be able to handle a big blow like that, even that devastating one that ended your season, especially in a year was coming back from injury anyway. I do not think that Devin Williams is toast. All I was saying in the offseason is be careful saying that the Yankees bullpen significantly better. They lost Clay Holmes, who was an all-star, and they bring in Devin Williams. Everybody, yeah, he's the best. Hard to be better than an all-star, and you're seeing that already. already it's not even true. And by the way, Boone agreed when he was in studio with us the first time. Mm-hmm. He was saying the same thing. Hey, we're not just bringing in Devin Williams to what we had. We're replacing a guy who was an all-star for us a year ago in Clay Holmes. And now, again, Williams is starting worse than Holmes did even a year ago. All right, BT and Sal.
Hold on, Hoff's got Hoff. What do you got there about Devin? Go ahead real quick.
Just really quickly, because yeah. I looked up. Williams' worst month is March, April, with an ERA of 3.86. But May goes down to 2.51, June 1.65, July 0.87, August 1.55, September, October 1.89.
Yep.
He seems like he's a Lindor. He starts slow. Yeah,
historically a slow starter, probably because his velocity's not there coming out of camp. And I've said it five times, but his best pitch is a changeup. That matters. Yeah, I think he's going to be good. But I think there's more issues than Devin Williams right now for the Yankees. I think they're two, you know, nine runs or no runs. I think their defense has been a little scattered this year. And let's face it, you look at their starting rotations numbers. I know it's early, guys, but Stroman's like a 6 ERA. Rodon's high fives. I mean, you got to get Luis Gil back at some point healthy. And Luis Gil needs to be healthy, and Luis Gil needs to dominate. Otherwise, the Yankees' rotation is going to be a mess this year.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.